Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Merry Christmas, the Savior is born. We're glad to see everybody this morning. We hope everyone is going to have a wonderful and blessed day. I'd like to welcome any visitors we have with us today. Glad you're here with us. Do we have any new visitors that have never been here before? Okay, we're all family then. Do we have any announcements that need to be made this morning?
Well, we'll try to do the newsletter on Thursday. If anyone has or information they'd like in the newsletter, please send it to me before Thursday.
We will also be having a congregational meeting, not next Sunday, but Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
And congregational meeting will be for the ordination and installation of elders.
Anyone else? Please make sure you register in the red pew pads and the pads in the pews. Make sure you register that you're here and pass it on down. If no one else has anything, let us pause in silent prayer and prepare our hearts for the light of Jesus. Thank you. Do we have any prayer or praise requests this morning?
I have a meeting with only one. Yes, ma'am.
My mama is here.
I saw her. We're glad you're here.
And I'd like to thank the Lord for people like Seth who have the gentle gift of encouraging people to do things out of their comfort zone.
I do believe she has a gift of that. Do we have anything else?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We exalt the name of Jesus this morning. And Father, in every way that we can, our hearts want to cry out and give you all the glory and all the honor and the praise. Lord, your word in a few places describes heavenly scenes and the angels and the creatures of heaven are always singing your praise and glorifying your name. Lord, as we attempt to bring praise to you today, inhabit our praises, Father. Come and move among us and touch our hearts. Touch our hearts with your word. Touch our hearts, Father, with the encouragement, the strength, the peace that we need this morning. And we give you praise and glory. And we thank you, Father, for we have gathered here in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. And Father, we lift up those who have been mentioned in prayer this morning. All those that are on our prayer list. And the list is, there's just so many, Father. So many needs. But you are our answer. You are the healer. You are the comforter and our redeemer. And Father, you are the one that can bring strength and, Lord, help in time of need. And so, Lord, we look to you and we ask that you would do these things in the lives of those that we love and care for. That you would touch them in a special way this morning. And they would see your hand of mercy and be able to give you praise and glory and learn from you. And grow in your grace and mercy. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Now help us to pray as you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please stand for our call to worship? Blessed is tiny Bethlehem, from which shall come the ruler of Israel. Blessed is Mary, who believed in the fulfillment of God's word. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is God who gives us the gift of peace.
We have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er.
may be seated. Our call to confession. O wondrous God, we come with breathless wonder to see the babe who will change our lives. We hear the names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and we are in awe. You have touched the earth with your unconditional love. Touch our hearts, our minds and souls, that we may live in the full revelation of Christ's coming, that we may never take it for granted. Please read our prayer of confession in silence. Amen. And we have these words of assurance. God's love knows no bounds. Love comes down at Christmas. A love so deep and so profound that nothing will ever be the same again. Know that this love is come for you. To touch you, to heal you, to forgive you, and to make you whole. It's children's time. Do we have anybody this morning? I see one or two.
Thank you. going to play Stump the Band. So just call out. We'll do one verse of your favorite Christmas hymns. Don't be bashful. Joy to the world. 125. Say that if you stumped the band, you had to come and sing it? No, I didn't say that, did I?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh,
37. Child. You know, as you get older, they say that your memory goes second. I forgot what's first. But the hearing is in there too. We're going to have to sing this through at least twice.
Offertory sentence today: thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I ask our ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings. You may be seated, Brother Jonathan.
This morning. Good morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning with verse 8. Hear the reading of God's Word. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." You know, we talked about this couple of weeks ago, this very passage, and this glorious experience that the shepherds had out in the field, and the appearance of the angel of the Lord, and now this great company of angels that is singing praise to God or declaring His praise. And in the midst of all that, their words were, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The King James, or the way maybe you grew up hearing it, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And I think somehow maybe we have thought that we would have peace on earth one day. That somehow through our efforts, through the decisions that somebody might make in Washington, or somebody might make in the United Nations, or that we would achieve peace. I mean, you know, everybody wants world peace. I sort of love that Miss Congeniality and all those contestants for whatever kind of pageant it was. And every one of them, world peace. We want world peace. World peace. And it'd be nice to have world peace. But will we see that in our time here before Jesus comes back? I don't think so. I think Jesus indicated as much, that this time would be a time that would be that there would be wars. There'd be rumors of wars. There would be fighting. And so we think about this declaration of the angels, this peace that he speaks about, this peace on earth. And even on that night, I mean, in that very experience, the scripture says that the shepherds were terrified. And, you know, when Jesus was brought into this world, I mean, it wasn't the most pleasant of circumstances. I mean, I've been to the hospital 3 times with my wife, and even in a hospital in a sterile environment, it's a tough experience. I mean, you know, her there in the bed, those pains coming, waking me up. I mean, it was the toughest night's sleep I'd had. But I managed. No. But you know, it's tough. I mean, if you think back, that's not a pleasant experience. There's not a whole lot that's peaceful about birth. And to beat it all, now they're having this whole experience in a manger, in a stall, or possibly this could have been a cave type of enclosure. And for Jesus to be born in that environment. But you know what the scripture says? The scripture says after, it talks about after the pain, after all that labor, that's soon forgotten for the joy of the children, the child. And there was peace. I can imagine that after all that was done, about the time those shepherds showed up, maybe a day or two later, may have been that night, they had the journey. I don't know how long it took them. But there was that baby child in those swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And it must have been a peaceful experience at that point. Yeah. So we see peace. There's no doubt that Jesus came to bring peace, but how do we understand it? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men goodwill toward men, peace to men on whom His favor rests. Jesus said this in Luke 12. If you want to turn over just a few chapters in the same gospel. Gospel of Luke chapter 12, begin with verse 49. I've come to bring a fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. All this division, he says, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring division. And so there's this understanding that the thing that Jesus is doing in the earth, the message that He came to bring, isn't always going to bring peace. But it's going to cause people to divide, to hate one another. Not on maybe the part of the one who's receiving the love of God in his heart and life, but those who will detest that person because of Jesus. The person who will hate another because they have believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we hear about it in the news all the time, and maybe not as much as we should, and we really don't hear about it the way we should. But there are Christians all over the globe that are being persecuted for their faith because they believe in Jesus. They're being put in prison, they're being beaten, they're being killed. Missionaries are just being shot in the head on the side of the road, left for dead. It happens all the time. And maybe we don't hear about it. I told you this story before, but I remember a young man coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in college. He asked Jesus to come into his heart. He was so excited about having found the answer to life, having received the peace of God, the love of God, the life of God into his heart and life. He was so excited about his newfound faith, and he was growing in the Lord. He hadn't called home yet to tell his parents, but he was growing. And it came time for him to call. But his parents lived in, I'm not sure if it was China or Japan. I'm not sure exactly where it was. But when he called and told his parents, they said, "Don't come home. Don't bother coming back home. You're not our son anymore." Man. And he didn't let it stop him. He continued his life with the Lord. He continued. He knew that God had made a difference in his life. The peace that God brought into his life caused his parents to divide against him, to hate him, to not like him. The gospel message that Jesus brought into the world caused people to hate Him. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, seethed and tried to figure out a way. How are we going to kill this man? We got to get rid of him. Jesus said, "Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division." As long as we're living and we're proclaiming the name of Jesus and we're standing up for Christ, as long as people are standing up for Christ around the world, there's not going to be peace on earth. There's not going to be peace on earth anyway. Even if that wasn't the case, Satan didn't come here to just make an offense against Christians. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy anybody and everybody that he can. He's not just fighting against the church. He's fighting against the lost. He's trying to kill them too. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that one of the reasons why peace is so important is because we need peace with God. Scripture indicates that apart from Christ, we're alienated from God. We're enemies of God. Scripture says you can't be friends with the world and friends with God. You can't have two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. You'll hate one, or you'll love one and despise the other. Jesus came into this world to bring peace into our hearts, no doubt. The message that he came to bring was peace, but he knew that peace would bring division. That it would cause a clash against the Antichrist spirit that exists in this world, that exists in people. So, he brought this peace into the world so that we could have peace with God. So that we could be reconciled to God. So that we could find fellowship with God and truly experience peace in our hearts, in our lives. Romans 8:6 says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And so, his peace is also supposed to be a peace within. It's supposed to be a peace that dwells in us, that reigns in us, that we are nurturing, that we're allowing to flow in and through our lives. And then there is Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so there's that call on our lives to be at peace, even with those who are divided against us because of our faith. As far as it's possible, let the peace, let the joy, let the love of the Lord God flow through your life. Be at peace with people. Be at peace within yourself. Let the Spirit fill you with peace. Know that the peace of God has come into your life to bring you back into relationship with Him. And then finally, the peace of God has come so we can share it with others. So that divisions can be healed. So that through time, through testimony, through the living of our faith, even those folks who hate us may turn in time, may be testified to in time, and understand and know the peace of God in their own life.
There's no doubt that God came, that Jesus came to bring peace. But it's not world peace. It's the peace that can only be given to one person by another person. It's the peace that can be told about and witnessed about and be lived out. And others then can choose to receive that peace for themselves. But world peace?
The Scripture talks about a time when Jesus will come back
and He will lock Satan and the Antichrist in a pit for 1,000 years. And in that 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be world peace. World peace. There's only one person who's ever going to bring world peace to this world, and that's the Creator of this world. Amen. Amen.
My brother, last night we spent time with family, and my brother was reading us a Christmas book, a little children's Christmas book.
He goes up to the library often and for reading time to kids and reads to them. And so he was sharing a book with us that thought was special. And it was about, you know, the creatures of the earth and how they were kept saying that it's time. And as it got to the very end of the story, on the last page, it talked about how the baby Jesus was lying there in the manger and he was looking up at the stars that he had made. Just think about that for just a moment. You know, we put the little trinkets, hang them over the baby bed, thinking that, you know, the baby's sitting there going, and the baby Jesus, his trinkets, that night would have been the stars in the sky. And he's seeing all of that heavenly beauty. A baby flying an angel. He was the one that made it. Jesus is the only one that can bring peace into the human heart. And that peace is meant to be shared. It's meant to be lived so that others can see it. Because everybody wants peace, but they don't know how to get it. Everybody wants peace, even though they don't understand that Jesus is the only source of peace. Live your peace. Let your peace shine for you. Share others. Share with others your peace. Sometimes in church, different congregations, different places will take the time during the service and everybody turns and they come down there and say, call it actions of peace. Pass your peace to someone else. And don't let it stop with peace. Continue to pass your peace. Because the only way that there's ever going to be peace on earth, one person at a time. We may not see world peace until Jesus comes back, but we can pass the peace, the gospel of peace, to others. If you're here today and maybe you don't know that peace, maybe you haven't made that decision yet. Maybe that's something that here we're talking about and you're thinking, man, I wish I had peace. You can have peace today. You need only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
petite in your heart today, and it will never leave you. It can grow. It can grow richer, and it can grow deeper. It can be passed up. And that's the only way they'll ever know the peace of Christ, is if we take it to them. I want you to stand as we sing this closing hymn. Respond, if you would, this morning to the invitation as the Lord speaks in your heart. Appreciative of the cards and stuff that you put in his box.